Cause I'm just a nobody, trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. Ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus.
Hey everybody, and welcome back to the second episode, the second part to our episode series on free will. So if you haven't checked out the previous episode, I encourage you to go back and listen to it. We talk about Calvinism and the five major principles of Calvinism and how they relate to free will. So I hope you go back and listen to those to kind of see where we're at in our progress through this these episodes. So like I mentioned, topic is free will. So for the second part, I want to talk about the separation of wills. God's will is different from our will. The Bible says that God is not willing that any should perish, which we talked about in the last episode. God takes no pleasure in condemning the wicked to death. He doesn't take pleasure in that. Ezekiel 33, verse 11 says, "Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel?" Okay, so he takes no pleasure in condemning those to death. And you can see how there's an opportunity in Ezekiel 33, verse 11. You can see how there's an opportunity for those to turn away from their wicked ways. You can also see that there's a separation of wills when Jesus is praying to the Father, because the flesh desires other things than the Spirit does. Luke 22, verse 42, it says, "Saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." So we know Jesus is God in the flesh, but we also know that there's some limitations that God puts on himself, that Jesus puts on himself when he becomes flesh, right? So you can see part of that flesh coming out right here in his prayer to the Father. And you can see how there is a difference of will between Jesus in the flesh and the Father, which is in heaven. So there is this separation of our will and God's will, which those people who don't believe in free will don't believe. They believe God orchestrates and wills everything that you do. Every action that you could perform is directly related to God forcing you to make that action. So that's all I have for the separation of wills. Do y'all have anything you want to add to that? All right. If not, we'll talk about free will choice. So free will choice. God is not going to force you to sin, and God's not going to force you to serve. We talk about this a lot in the last episode as well. But James 1, verse 13 through 14 says, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away from his own lust and enticed." And then in verse 15, I don't have it pulled up. Do any of y'all have it pulled up? Verse 15 of James chapter 1. I meant to add it. I forgot.
"Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death."
Exactly. So we can see that when he's drawn away of his own lust, you have this repercussion from it. It's his own free will choice in which he gives into temptation. Because God's not going to force you to give into temptation if he's not even going to tempt you, right? He's not going to force you to sin. Matter of fact, he even tells us that he makes an escape for that temptation because it's not his will for us to sin. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, it says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, and ye may be able to bear it." All right, so God will, God actively provides an escape from the temptation. Mm-hmm. So why would he provide an escape from the temptation if he's going to force you to partake in the temptation, mm-hmm. so to speak? I mean, it doesn't make logical sense to make an escape if he's going to force you to partake in it. So there's that choice of choosing to, you know, turn away from it or to jump into it. Mm-hmm. But going back to James, he tells the brethren not to err in their ways. James 1:16, a little bit after those verses that I just read, and then Pastor Mike read 15. In verse 16, it says, "Do not err, my beloved brethren." Mm-hmm. So there's an action. You know, he wouldn't say do not err if God's going to force you to either err or stay on the right path, right?
He's challenging you not to err. He's challenging you, trying to say, look, I encourage you not to.
And it seems like with the idea that there's no free will, it seems like there's an omission or a removal of the idea of flesh once we're Christians. And many scriptures were told that the flesh and the spirit are entirely different entities that conflict with one another. Mm-hmm. Galatians 5, verse 16 through 17, it says, "This I say then, walk in the spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would." So you see the flesh is conflicting with the spirit. Mm-hmm. And this is for Christians, right? Mm-hmm. Because, you know, you don't have the spirit in you if you're not a Christian, right? You don't have that comforter that Jesus talks about if you're not a Christian. So going back to what we talked about in the last episode with the perseverance of the saints, even for the Christians, you can see there's a separation of spirit and flesh, and that we will give into temptation from time to time, but it's our choice and that we do that. It's not God making us sin, and it's not God forcing us to sin.
Well, I mean, and this is a few scriptures, but bear with me. In Romans 7:21 through 25, Paul says, "For the good that I would do, would I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that doeth, but the sin that dwelleth in me." So we talked about that. If we're catering to sin, we're not going to follow the spirit like we should. And I find that then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am. I mean, he's willing to admit that I am a mess.
Yeah.
I am a mess, and that wars against myself daily, mm-hmm. you know, and then crucifying the flesh. And then this day I fail, or this day I succeed in the Lord. But it's because of, you know, that flesh and the spirit fight and battle. And says, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then when the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin." So we're divided mm-hmm. on, you know, and we're having to keep that in subjection. Otherwise we'll struggle mm-hmm. every day. And so if Paul is telling you that, I mean, you know, suffering and struggling every day just to you know, to serve God.
Yeah.
And
I mean, Jesus even tells us too, to deny ourselves daily, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
We're supposed to crucify this flesh daily. And if if God forces us in everything that we do, why would Jesus tell us this? Because God would inherently do that himself, right? Mm-hmm. It wouldn't be us doing it. It would be God doing it. But in our individual walks, you can see how there is that inward struggle mm-hmm. of the flesh. And so God allows us to choose whether we are dead to sin or whether we live in sin still. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there's definitely, in my opinion, and based on what I've read in the scriptures, there's definitely evidence to suggest that there's a separation of wills, one between our will, which is consumed with flesh, and God's will, which is higher than ours. Mm-hmm. Proverbs teaches us that, you know, his ways are higher than our ways. Mm-hmm. So we can humble ourselves to think that not everything we do is God doing them. It's us choosing to do those mm-hmm. things, which are either righteous or sinful. So there's definitely a separation of sin, a separation of wills, and a free will choice. Let's see. Like I said earlier, Luke 9, verse 23, it says to take up his cross daily. I taught Sunday school on this one time about how difficult it is. I talked about how I'm sure how difficult it was for Jesus to crucify himself and to go through everything he did, and about how hard it is for us to do that as well within our flesh, to, you know, to crucify our flesh daily, because you know, we flesh is fun. Sin is fun. To live in your flesh and to live in sin is fun, but it also contradicts what God mm-hmm. wants us to do. So it's a challenge for us to crucify that and to cut it from our lives.
It's self. It's denying ourselves. Mm-hmm. You know, when you look at what we pamper ourselves, we take care of ourselves. You know, if we're hungry or thirsty, we eat, we drink, and that's the problem, is that, you know, sin is self-indulgent. It's not helping anybody else. It doesn't help us either, but it's targeted at ourselves.
Yeah.
And that's what he's trying to say, is deny yourself and follow me, and give up the desires that would keep you from serving me. Set those aside, get rid of them, and follow me. Mm-hmm. And when you do, you're helping others, you're reaching others. That's right. What the gospel is all about, is to go, you know, tell others about him. Mm-hmm. And if we're involved in ourselves, we're not worried about nobody else. Right. We're focused on us.
Mm-hmm. And that brings up the question too, is why would we be giving commandments if it was already, if God's controlling everything we do? Why are we told not to partake in these things? Right. If it's God's will for us to partake in these things, if that makes any sense. So it brings into question why obedience is even necessary.
Yeah.
And again, like we talked about last episode, why chastisement would even be there. You know, if God's forcing us in everything we do, he tells us to take up our cross daily because it is a personal action every day to crucify this flesh that we live in, to glorify him in everything that we do. Mm-hmm. I think of John 17, which is what we're studying in Sunday school right now, about how Jesus tells the Father, glorify me so that I may glorify you. Same thing with our crucifixion of our flesh every day. Glorify me so that I might glorify you. You know, purge these things for me so that I may glorify you. But it's that personal action that each person has to choose to do every day. Or else Jesus wouldn't tell us to do that, right? He wouldn't tell us what to do, what not to do, and he wouldn't tell us to take up our cross daily. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a personal decision to be free from the burdens and the bondage of sin. If we engage, it's a personal decision to be free from those if we engage what he's provided for us. I put it in my notes. You can take a horse to water, but you can't make him drink it.
That's right.
in simple terms.
That's right.
But yeah, there's definitely free will choice. The more we learn about scripture, and I mentioned earlier about why would we need to obey or keep his commandments if God controls every decision that we make? Couldn't he just force us to obey his commandments without telling us to obey his commandments? We talked about this in the last episode. He establishes his love for us by allowing us to choose whether to serve him or ourselves. God is a gentleman, and he won't force you to serve him or love him because that would not allow us to show him that we love him back.
That's right.
Jesus tells us many times, if you love me, keep my commandments.
That's right.
That is how he knows we truly love him as God of our lives, if we put our love into action. The obedience is an indicator of our love for him. And if he controls every action, there would be no evidence on our part that we love him. If he controls everything we do, we couldn't prove our love to him, and he wouldn't truly know if we love him or not, right? So like I said in the previous episode, God is a personal being. He longs to have a relationship with us, but he doesn't force it.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not going to force it because it goes against his nature. You guys have anything else you want to add about the choice of free will?
I was telling Brother Matthew before we got started, over in Revelations, the very last chapter, mm-hmm. he says, "Whosoever will, whosoever will, let him take the mm-hmm. water of life freely." You know, whosoever will. So the choice is ours. We can either accept or reject. That's our choice. We can do right or we can do wrong. That's our choice.
Right.
You know?
And at the end of it also, when it talks about that he can be our, that we can be with him, you know, when it talks about in Revelations 20, that we're with him and he's our God and we're his people.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, face to face in the presence of God, the one that loved us throughout all this history, with the people that chose to love him and obey him and live for him, you know, and accept him as their savior. He gets to be with us. That's what he wanted from the beginning,
mm-hmm.
is to have a relationship with us. Like he walked with Adam in the garden in the cool of the day. When Adam and Eve sinned, there's no more walking in the cool of the day. They were kicked out of the garden.
Mm-hmm.
And so all this time up to Christ, there was just taking care of the rolling over the sins, you know, with sacrifice until Jesus paid the price, built a bridge between us and God.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, at the very end, we get to be with him because we loved him and because he loved us.
Yeah.
He first loved us. And so finally, all this has been worth it to be with him at the end. And that's the whole portrait when it's all painted, is that everybody through history that accepted Christ gets to be with God,
mm-hmm.
and the Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit together forever.
Right.
And that's a love story if you've ever seen one.
Yeah.
You know, it's like that perfect end to a Hallmark movie.
But yeah, it's by our own, it's our own choice, whether we serve God or turn away from him. Like we mentioned in the previous episode, he's not willing that any should perish, but shall all, that all should come to him.
That's right.
So it's it's a free will choice for everyone who has had the opportunity to come to Christ. It's the choice from them, whether they do or not. And Romans 1, I'll reiterate this before we take off. But in Romans 1, everybody has been able to be informed about God or Christ. So there's no excuse for not coming to God and not coming to Christ. No man is righteous. And there's no excuse. So there's gonna be that choice from each individual person, and that's in essence free will. that's what we're taught in Scripture, is that that each person has free will, and that God doesn't control every aspect that you do. Do you guys have anything else you want to add?
That's good.
All right. Well, this concludes our episode on free will. I hope you guys have enjoyed. Please let us know if you didn't or if you did. I encourage all feedback. Might hurt my feelings, but that's okay. I can take it. Until next time, we'll see you later. I'm just a nobody, trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. Ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. I'm living for the world. Nobody but Jesus.